Okay, thank you for sharing that. Ken, so we'll bring them before the Lord here too in the days and weeks ahead. Thank you. Just one more prayer request here quickly. Tomorrow, as the Bible school here, we're going to be having a meeting in Arispe, something that God has put on our hearts as a Bible training. And we have a great facility. I'm not sure if any of you have ever been out to Arispe before, but there's a big church plant there. There's a big gymnasium. And we are looking at starting up a Christian rehab center in that Sonora Valley. And the facilities are there. And we have some people in place that we want to talk with and some others there. And drugs there in the Sonora River Valley are just incredible, too. I mean, everybody. They actually have people in the high schools there in Banamachi or outside that just deal with people with drug problems. They have psychiatrists that they hire full-time just to deal with drugs. And God has just been impressing upon our hearts to consider opening up a drug rehab and getting people pointed in the right direction. And so do be praying with us too as we reach out tomorrow, as we have a meeting with the congregation in this town. And we're just believing God to do some really cool things in and amongst the community there, and just to be able to help. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. As we read from Psalm 23, verse 5. Last Sunday, we talked about kind of some disgusting things, flies. And it was interesting, Ray just told me this morning that he had the same problem when he had sheep, and his sheep got infected with these nasal flies, and they actually died. And so there's truth to what I'm saying. It's a horrible thing. And as we talked about all kinds of annoying things that enter into our lives, and it was interesting talking to a few people after the service last week, and just some situations that they explained, you know, and the things that bother them, and it's like things that are just cannot be controlled, and yet God wants you to control things. He wants you to be able to fix things. He wants you to be able to deal with situations, and it doesn't come easy. Well, there's something else that sheep go through in the summer months that is quite disgusting as well, and it's actually called scab. Not sure if you have heard that before. You know, we think of the word scab, and it's something that from a sore. Scab is a very irritating and highly contagious disease common among sheep everywhere in the world. Caused by a minute microscopic parasite that proliferates in warm weather. Scab spreads through the flock by direct contact between infected and non-infected animals. Very contagious. Something that sheep like to do is they like to rub heads together. And for those of you that have seen that, I mean, I've seen sheep do that because they're very affectionate. And so they love to butt heads. They love to rub their heads together. Did you experience that, Ray? Yeah. Yeah, in other ways as well. Exactly. And, you know, I was just thinking, it's interesting how lots of animals will do that kind of rubbing together. I've never seen this before, but they always say that Eskimos like to rub noses together. I don't know, I've been with Eskimos before and I've never actually seen that happen. We are very affectionate people. We love to hug each other. We love to get a pat on the back. It's just a normal thing, and so it is with sheep. They like to rub their heads together. This scab, this disease, is mostly on their heads. It's not on necessarily in the rest of their bodies as much as it is on their heads, just because they are always rubbing each other. And so it just goes from one sheep to another, just on a regular basis. So it can be infected just like that with this scab disease. And I was thinking, when we think about the Old Testament and how that always spoke about the sacrificial lamb that was brought before the slaughter. And I was wondering, if this disease even existed way back 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. And so that's what it meant. It had to be a sheep without blemish, a sheep that was clean, a sheep that did not have any parasites, did not have that particular type of scab. And so as we begin to think of this word scab, and we begin to think of this disease, the Bible refers to this as contamination. It refers to as possible sin and evil. And like flies, though, there is an antidote. Remember, we talked about the shepherd putting oil on the sheep's head along with sulfur and some tar. Well, there's an antidote to get rid of scab as well. And it's very costly and it takes a lot of work. Tanks of liquid have to be made. And they put a certain solution into these tanks. And they literally have to dunk each sheep into this solution in order to clean them. It's like they're getting baptized. And the head has to go in numerous times just because that's where it is the worst. I'm not sure if any of you have ever had fleas before, but I remember kids in the jungle constantly would get them in the school there, and they would take so much time to get rid of fleas. You'd have to be constantly dunking this solution. A lot of work, and it had to be the same thing with shepherds, trying to get rid of this scab, this disease. And so lots of effort had to be put into getting these sheep clean from the disease. It's interesting, as I thought about this whole scenario this past week and thought, man, how can, you know, what does this mean? What's coming out of this whole thing of contamination, this disease, sheep butting heads together like that? And I sometimes, I've been just thinking about this whole thing, and it's like, what kind of diseases come our way that enter our minds? What kind of contamination is there that just creeps in through our minds? I sometimes think as people, we get our heads together and knock heads. We do that. And sometimes we knock heads with the wrong types of people that don't necessarily have the mind of Christ, for example. And I think so many times, as believers, we can get very saturated with the concepts of the world. When I think of that word saturated, it's like it is just totally, totally full. If you've had a French fry that was saturated with oil, it is heavy, it is greasy, it is gross. And it's like you don't want to eat that. Except maybe my daughter. But she loves French fries. But it's not something that looks very pretty. And I sometimes think, you know, what are we saturated with? What are we contaminated with? Who are the people that are influencing our lives? Our thoughts, our ideas, our emotions, our choices, our impulses, our drives and desires are all shaped and molded through the exposure of our minds through other people's minds. And so, as we rub heads with other people, we are exchanging information and we are receiving information. And it all comes through our minds. And what are we receiving? When you think of the mass communication that is out there today, and it continually grows and grows, when you think of the outside forces, everybody has a TV. When you begin to think of how much information is coming off of that TV and into our minds, is it good stuff or is it bad stuff? the radio, magazines, the internet, newspapers. It could be people from classmates that we have together, friendships. It could be church members. Schools that think and teach very humanistically to our children. I've seen time and time again young people going into a university and they come out a totally different person. They come out thinking very humanistically. They have a totally different mindset. And why did that happen? Why? So much outside influence that is shaping and molding us. And the majority of people at that, and I sometimes think we don't even know what's really going on because it's so subtle. It's so subtle. One cannot be exposed to such contacts without coming away contaminated. I remember in Venezuela, as missionaries would go into a brand new tribe of Indians. And as they would walk in, or not walk in, as they'd boat in or fly in, and they began working with these tribal people, learning their language, learning their culture, and eventually presenting the Word of God to these people. And it was so amazing, the difference of entering a brand new tribe that had never had outside exposure to religion or whatever, and you could teach the basic principles of the Word of God to people, these tribal people, and they were not contaminated. And I've seen other organizations or missionaries that have gone into a tribe where there have maybe been two or three or four other groups in that place. And so when you have a group of people coming in and giving man-made ideas of how things ought to be done, rather than teaching the pure Word of God, all of a sudden you're having to go and do corrective teaching. It's like, who told you this? Where did this man-made rule come from? But so many times, even in evangelism, we like to bring on our own convictions and say, this is what you ought to do. This is the way you need to be, rather than what is it that God wants us to do? What does God want us to be? What are the things that are contaminating, that are bringing in things into our lives that are distracting us and changing our mindset and not thinking totally clear and straight? It was interesting as I was listening to my hallelujah music this morning. It's all Southern gospel and my family doesn't like that music. So all of a sudden I was outside of my office and I come back in and all of a sudden there was a change of music. But this was just really weird. It's like, good grief, Susan, what did you put on? So then she turns it on and it says, hair guitar. So anyways, this is some type of strange, crazy music. But it's like all of a sudden, here I was listening to like angels singing, and then all of a sudden, I was listening to this trash. And it's like, thinking of contamination, it's like, just like that, it's like I had an attitude. It's like, what am I putting into myself, into my brain here? And yeah, what are we putting inside of our minds? Our mindsets are totally abhorrent. There is more violence than ever before, more hatred, more prejudice, more greed, more cynicism, more disrespect for that which is noble, for that which is fine, for that which is beautiful. There's so much disrespect for that nowadays, it seems. And what the scriptures say in Philippians 4:8, it was interesting that I saw this verse on Hannah's in her kitchen on a little bulletin board there. We are instructed emphatically in this manner, Philippians 4, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Wow, what a verse. Something that we could just go back to just on a daily basis. Whatsoever things are honest and pure and just. And the only way that we can possibly attain this is to free our minds from the contamination of the world and to live a conscientious day, walking in the presence of the Spirit of God. Just walking in the presence of Him. And as we talked last Sunday about the anointing, that can be done. He anointeth my head with oil. He wants to shower down that oil on us to clean us, to protect us, to allow the Spirit of God to so freely be a part of us, to run through us, to just drip down us. That's what He wants. And just like at salvation, when we put our total trust in Him for what He did on the cross for us, the same it is for the whole anointing of the Spirit of God in our lives. By faith and confidence, Lord, I am here. I want Your anointing in my life. I want to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Not just some fly-by-night type of thing, some type of relationship like that. And all we have to do is ask. That's it. Ask. How simple is that? Lord, I want to be controlled by You. I pray for Your anointing in my life. It's that simple. There's another thing that happens with sheep. After the summer, fall comes into play. Green starts turning to brown and to bronze and to different colors. The flies and the bugs and that kind of stuff are disappearing. And there's a whole new season coming in. It's called mating season. They call it the rut season. And you have these monarchs, you call them. Their necks just swell up and they just kind of prance around, looking very impressive out there in the fields, showing off themselves to all these ewes that are around them. And they start fighting. The males start knocking heads. And I'm not sure if you've ever heard a sheep knock heads. I mean, I've seen mountain sheep do this, but even regular domestic sheep, I've seen them knock heads before, and it's kind of, I don't know, I don't like it. It gives me a headache thinking about it. But these sheep will knock horns, and they will actually hurt themselves very much, and they can actually kill themselves by knocking heads together. And so the shepherd knows all of this too. And he has a remedy for this as well. It's actually very strange. But as I was reading about this, and he wants to protect his sheep from injury, from killing themselves. And so what he does to combat this, he will get a load of grease and he will just ream that all over those sheep's heads. It's the strangest thing. And these sheep, when they begin to butt and to fight, it's like they will knock and they will just kind of slip as they knock heads. And all of a sudden, they'll just stop and feel really stupid and look at themselves. It's like, what has just happened here? And they're frustrated, and they just walk away. Strange. But this is what this one particular shepherd said that he did as a remedy to fix this problem. Knocking heads. I thought about that. And there's a lot of things that you can pull out of something like knocking heads. In and amongst Christians today, I believe that there's a considerable amount of knocking each other. So many times as believers, we don't always see eye to eye. And sometimes we can really, really hurt people by what we say. And there's so many people in churches today where they like to get up to be that top sheep in the congregation. They want to stick their chests out. And it's like, here am I. Here I am. And there's a bit of bullying that you could say that goes on. I mean, we're talking about believers fighting, knocking heads. My dad, I remember as a kid growing up, he would always tell me, if you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything. And, you know, I've had to put that to practice sometimes, you know, because it's so easy to point a finger and talk about somebody rather than just close it. Did you know that much of the grief, the wounds, the hurts, the ill wills, the unforgiven things in people's lives can normally be traced back to old rivalries, old jealousies, or battles that had broken out between believers? Did you know that scores of skeptical souls, people, will never enter a church simply because way back in their experience, someone had battered them badly? Do you know of people like that? I know of people like that. They say, they've told me, I will never enter a church again in my life because of what somebody did, what somebody told me. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's Christians. Those are people that actually know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you wonder why. Why does that happen? Jesus had to deal with that even before his crucifixion. Remember the 12 disciples? How there was jealousy there among them. Those that wanted to be greater than the other, those that wanted to have more prestige than others, those that always wanted to sit beside Jesus. They were bickering amongst themselves. And Jesus told them, one day the Comforter is going to come. The Spirit of God is going to come. And he's going to bring you total, total peace of mind. He's going to come and do that. And Jesus said to his disciples, you will know peace. You will know it. Jesus went on to say that his people would be known everywhere for their love for one another. Wow. Because of us having the comfort of the Holy Spirit, people should know that we are believers because of our love for one another. But sometimes I wonder, where is that love? But yeah, we don't always see and experience this type of life, do we? God's own people hammer and knock each other, stiff-necked with pride and self-assertion, to faces we can be very dogmatic and very unloving to other Christians. And as we talked about the level of our cup, where is our level of our cup today? Where are we at? We as the children of God, the sheep of the divine shepherd's care, we should be the most contented people on earth. And I know lots of us are. But that should be our goal. That should be something that we just live every day, the most contented people on earth. As I even begin thinking of people here suffering, as people have gone through so much pain, it's tough. Pain is hard. Life is tough. And we can have a cup of suffering that'll overflow as well. There isn't every life a cup of suffering. Jesus Christ referred to his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane and at Calvary as his cup. He had it not overflowed with his life poured out for mankind, where would we be today if his cup had not been poured out for us? We would all perish. And what a photo of our master sharing the wine, the very lifeblood of his own suffering from his overflowing cup poured out at Calvary for you and for me. He is there with me in every storm, Donna. My shepherd is alert in every approaching disaster that threatens his people, George. He has been through the storms of suffering before, Sherilyn. He bore our sorrows and was acquainted with our grief. He knows all of that. He knows it. And no matter what the storms I face, his very life and strength and vitality is poured into my life, into my cup. That cup that I want overflowing with his presence, with his goodness, and that I can enjoy all the benefits that he has given to me. Because when other people can see us suffering as believers, as sheep of the Good Shepherd, what kind of testimony is that going to be? Wow. That person has cancer, and look at the life that they are living because of it. That's unbelievable. Only God can do that. Only God can be sufficient in our times of super need, that he can just bring that strength that we need in our suffering. Folks, I want you to be encouraged. Stay encouraged. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Whether we are hurting or whether we are in total joy, we want our cup to be overflowing. He knows our situation. He's gone through it. And he just wants to keep supporting us in our lives. Thank you.